Certainly appreciate the privilege of being here this evening and acknowledge a great need of the Lord's help. I'd like to begin reading in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. We are living in a world of trouble, political unrest, wars and rumors of wars, addictions to drugs, to alcohol, to pornography, gender confusion. In the United States, homelessness increased about 12% from year 2022 to 2023. And the U.S. suicide rate has increased about 36% in a period of 20 years. That's about one person every 11 minutes is where we are today. Suicide was the second leading cause of death in 2021 for peoples that were between 10 and 14 years old. 10 years old, suicide? When I was 10 years old, I wanted to climb trees, I wanted to fly kites, I wanted to ride a bicycle, I wanted to go fishing. Suicide wasn't even close to my mind. I want you to see a picture tonight of a world that's hurting out there. But I also want you to look up and see a vision like Isaiah saw. The Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, with his train filling the temple. I want you to hear, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. I want you to have a vision in spite of all the trouble that we see around us. In spite of this hurting world, I want you to have a vision of a Lord that is high and lifted up. And I want you to hear the call of the Lord tonight, asking who will go. The world is in trouble. The world is needing help. Who will go and share a gospel message? Who will go and give hope to people that are hopeless? I hope you have a vision tonight. I hope you see some opportunities around you in your own neighborhood. I hope your heart is moved when you read the news and know the kinds of things that are going on in our nation, but yet at the same time not becoming discouraged by that, but having a vision of the Lord being high and lifted up. In Pilgrim's Progress, there was a man that could look no way but downward with a muckrake in his hand. A muckrake was for gathering up a mixture of manure and decaying plant matter. It was a farm tool. So this man could look no way but up, and he had a muck rake in his hand. There was also someone above the man with a heavenly crown in his hand, offering it to him in exchange for his muck rake. But the man would not look up. Instead, he continued to draw to himself the straw, the manure, the dust of the earth. This man represents a worldly man, a man whose focus is on the things of this earth. He ignores the call that has come from above. He ignores the crown of life that is offered to him, and instead is gathering to himself the things of this world, the things of filth, the things that are temporary, the things that will decay. The question is tonight, who will go? Who has compassion for the world, for people that are in trouble, for people that are out there and all they seem to be focused on is raking together the muck that this world has to offer? Their song says, Jesus came our sorrows and our griefs to bear. What love divine, oh praise His name. He says, cast on me all thy load of care. Then praise to Him you ought to sing. Jesus came our sorrows and our griefs to bear. We don't need to commit suicide. There's Jesus that came. This is the message that we want to get to the world, that people can have hope. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Saul received a visit from the Lord, and he fell to the ground trembling, and he asked, Lord, what will you have me to do? And I hope tonight that you can hear the voice of the Lord calling you, and that you'll be willing to do the same thing and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah felt unworthy in the presence of God. He recognized he lived among a people who were also unworthy. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Have you ever heard the expression, God does not call the qualified, He qualifies the called? Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? But I believe there's some qualifications that we need. When the Lord says go, there are some qualifications first that we need. Imagine the military, the U.S. military. Do you think they send soldiers out into the field without having gone to boot camp, without having weapons, without having the physical training? No, they send soldiers out into the field having had some training, having had some preparation. What about the airline industry? Do they put pilots in the cockpit with not having gone to pilot school, perhaps visual impairment, not understanding what the controls are? No, they train them very thoroughly. They pick some prime people to fill those positions, and I'm glad they do. Well, there are some qualifications before we go. We don't just say, here am I, I'm going, but we need to be qualified. For Isaiah, it was that live coal that the angel took and touched his mouth and purged and cleaned, and then he was ready to go. For Saul, it was being struck down on the road to Damascus, fasting for 3 days and 3 nights, no doubt repenting, no doubt doing some real soul searching. Acts 9 and 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and all the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Here was Saul, persecutor of the church of God, a man that thought he was doing God's service, but was having people put to death. And the Lord said, Go, I have chosen him. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I want to ask you, was it worth it to Saul to answer the call when the Lord told him what to do? What a man that impacted the world, the Gentiles, us today. The conversion from Saul to Paul had such an impact on so many of us. And think about the rewarding life that he had. There is no life more rewarding, more fulfilling, more exciting than that of answering the call when the Lord says go. God's people were slaves in Egypt. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look on God. And the Lord said, I surely have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 9, Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I also have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Do you think the Lord is hearing the cry of people tonight? People that are in trouble, people that are in the slavery of sin. Do you think the Lord is hearing that cry? The Lord talked to Moses about it. Now, therefore, come, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. A people that needed deliverance. And there are people today that are needing deliverance. Lord, help us to be willing to go and to do what we can do. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 21. Israel was in trouble again. This was later in history. And this was not long before they were carried off into Babylon. Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem, and drop thy word toward the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel. Chapter 22 and verse 4, Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself and thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto all the heathen, and a mocking to all the country. He goes on and explains, In thee, speaking of Jerusalem, have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood, and in thee have they committed various sexual sins. Verse 30, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. You know what was at stake? A nation of people. A nation that was getting ready to be carried off into captivity. A nation that needed to turn back to God. And the Lord's call was, who will go? I'm looking for a man. And the Lord's call tonight is the same. Who will stand in the gap? We live in a nation that is in trouble. We live around people that are hurting. Lord, help us to see the hurt. Help us to see the white harvest fields, not just in other nations, but here in our own nation. God, give us a vision and help us to be willing to stand in the gap between the nation and destruction. Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse 10. Thou, son of man, shew the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. You know what happened to prophets that would go and prophesy against the nation? Sometimes they'd be put in prison. They would suffer persecution. What might happen to us if we're willing to stand in the gap, if we're willing to go and we go into dangerous places? What might happen to us? I want to tell you, there is no greater honor than to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. So if we suffer some persecution, what is the big deal? There is a nation that needs our help. Let's have this vision of the Lord high and lifted up, and have a vision of a hurting people that need the message that the Lord wants to help them. The Lord wants to save them. There is hope. There's reason to live. Who will make the kingdom of heaven foremost in their life? Let's look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. When one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Lord, the kingdom of heaven is so wonderful. There are many people that will say, Lord, Lord. There are many people that will take the name of Christ. But Jesus had a lesson for this man. Verse 16, Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. There's nothing wrong with buying a piece of ground, with having oxen, with marrying a wife. But the question is, how important is the kingdom of heaven to us? Are we willing to put it foremost in our life? So that servant came and shewed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. 1 Samuel chapter 14. First Samuel chapter 14 and verse 52. There was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or valiant man, he took him unto him. Now the Philistines, chapter 17 and verse 1. Now the Philistines were gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together Shochoch, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoch and Azekah in Ephesdammim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood upon a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Verse 8, And he stood and cried unto the armies of the Lord, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, along came the shepherd boy. Verse 20, And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. Verse 32, And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. Here was a young man that heard the call to go, and he went. The king discouraged him. His own brother discouraged him. Why did you come down here? I know the naughtiness of your heart. You just came down to see the battle. But yet, David was willing to go, and it meant the deliverance of his people. Tonight, I wonder who is willing to go. I'm thinking of the college campuses. All those young people there looking in all the wrong places for happiness in life. Who is willing to go and plant some seeds and show them some hope? Wouldn't it be wonderful if a group of young people went, godly looking young people, and sang these beautiful songs that we're singing here? And those young people are walking by and they're hearing something different than they've ever heard in their lives. And something touches their heart. And they start to see a vision of the Lord high and lifted up. Instead of all the darkness that they're used to looking at in this world, they start to get a glimpse of something better. Who is willing to go? Who is willing to go and give them hope that really there is something better in life? Who's willing to go into the streets and talk to the drug addict and give him some hope that there is a better life than what you're living? Who is willing to go and interact with people out in the sectarian church world and plant some seeds of truth? We used to have a minister among us many years ago, Brother Darius Gibson, and that was his burden. He went to those places and he received invitations to preach in their pulpits, and that was his mission field. Who is willing to go and to learn foreign language? Do you know we need that desperately? We need literature converted into many languages. You know how many languages there are in the world? I don't want to overwhelm you, but there are over 7,000. Well, if we could just get some of the major languages, some of the languages that actually impact us, Spanish, German, these various languages, young people, while you can hear the nuances of the pronunciation, while your mind is sharp and you can learn, you know there is such a great need for translators, for meetings, for literature. Is there anyone who will say, I'll go, Lord, I'll do that. I'll spend some time and effort doing those things. We have a very powerful tool these days, the internet. But we need websites. We need IT support badly. Is there any young person that would be willing to go and to apply themselves in that way to be a blessing to the cause of God? What a powerful tool to reach the world. Who is willing to go to the hospital and pray with that person that's on their deathbed? That's not very difficult, is it? You know, some of these people just need a touch of love and hope. They need to know somebody cared enough. One time I went to the hospital in Roatan and visited a young man. And it's like he couldn't hear what I said. And he said, you came to see me? It's like he couldn't get beyond that. Well, of course I came to see you. Who am I? I'm not the president. But it touched him that I came to see him. It's not very difficult to go and give somebody a little bit of your time who's hurting, who's in need. The question tonight is, who is willing to go? Who is willing to volunteer some time for a suicide hotline? One person, on the average, every 11 minutes, taking their eternal soul out. You know, some of these people are looking for help and hope. Is there anyone that would be willing to answer the phone and say, don't do it. There's somebody that loves you. And share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a pulpit preacher to do that. Who is willing to go? The song says, it may not be on the mountain height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths that I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. Maybe there's someone here tonight that would be willing to say, yes, Lord. It's more important than my career. It's more important than all the ambitions that I had. I see a world that needs something. I have a vision like Paul that saw the Gentiles, that saw people that needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. It may not be where Paul went. It may not be something big and where everybody can see. But Lord, wherever it is you send me, my answer tonight is yes. May God bless you. Why don't we sing number 246?